The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
And in studio with me, I have Dr. Joanne Paul, Pediatric Emergency Specialist at the NCRHA, here to talk about, you know, the year in review, basically, with all of the different health threats that we faced for the year, with a specific target to dengue, because, you know, it's been our minds, but it was a, you know, huge campaign to make sure that our areas were cleaned and we were very aware of what was the process of dengue and all of that. And it, you know, it went to the back burner for a little bit, but we're here to talk about it. So good morning to you, Dr. Paul, and welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM.
Hi, good morning, Tusker. Good morning, Trinidad and Tobago.
You sound very sprightly.
It's the 21st, you know, it's the last day of the year, so it makes you think about what's your plans for next year, you know, gives you a chance to just reflect and reset.
And quickly, in the year in review, in terms of health, as a doctor, what were your observations for the year?
I think post-pandemic, we recovered, and then afterwards you realize that, hey, you know, this is still happening in terms of lots of viruses, lots of things happening. So I think it's just for us to be more aware, because we have, as you mentioned, we had a dengue. Initially, we had dengue happening. And then, of course, as the year progressed, we had COVID still around. We had influenza A coming about, maybe. It usually does. You know, that's why we pushed with the whole to give up to flu vaccine. But we also had influenza A this year coming with a voom, vam, vam. In September, October, November, oh my goodness, lots of cases. And then we had RSV, and RSV is respiratory syncytial virus, and that comes again every time, but came really, really with a hit this time, much higher than usual. So you had all these things happening. And then, of course, things that we don't really expect. There was the hand, foot, and mouth syndrome that came. So things that, you know, you had the pandemic, so you're like, all right, let's just take a breather now. And then suddenly it's like, meh, no breather. Let's go again.
Another one.
Yeah, definitely.
If you know music, you know DJ Khaled, right?
Yeah, of course.
Another one. There's another one. So we were talking briefly just before coming on air. And within the last, I believe it was the month, we talked about foot, hand, mouth. Is that the correct way of saying it?
Yeah, so hand, foot, and mouth syndrome, yeah.
I thought that was like a 19th century disease that you never hear of again.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
is it that these viruses have the ability to make a resurgence? How does that happen?
Yeah, it's just, it's always around. Eh? It's just, it's like a system. Once you have about three or four things happening at the same time, so you had persons having, of course, during COVID, they had less immunity, and so there was less transmittance of that. And then afterwards now, you just have it where one person gets it, and then it spreads so easily with children. And then because we're so unaware of it, then we wouldn't take the precautions. So it's when we lapse a little bit, it comes forth, and we're unaware, and we have to be reminded, hey, this is a normal thing that happens all the time. And so you had outbreaks in terms of Trinidad, a few other places in the world, but especially here. So it's hand, foot, and mouth is extremely contagious. Okay. Oh, my goodness. But what people might do, if you think to yourself, you know, you don't want to have your child at home, you sneak a child in school, right? And you pretend, no, I've not seen any rashes. And, of course, that passes on to every other child, because what happens is that it's respiratory, it's coughing, and direct contact. So what do children do? They touch each other, they touch all over, and they wipe their nose, they wipe their mouth. So, of course, wipe, wipe, wipe. Touch, 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 scratch, scratch, scratch. And so it's easily spread. So that was happening. And so I think it's just for us to be as aware of, as parents, of what could happen and take responsibility. If you're seeing those signs of that, you have to have your child at home to be monitored in semi-isolation. But although I'm saying that, then I totally understand as parents, it's really tough. If you have like your two-parent household, no one to babysit for, but you also have the public responsibility. If you if your child has something that could be very contagious, let them stay at home. Definitely. Yeah.
And the ways in which you contain that, sanitization would be top of the list.
Definitely. And the thing is that I usually push with parents, you know, once you decide to have a child and you bring forward this child, you have to be able to take care of them, and you also have to take responsibility for their health. So with everything, you have to be the extra nurse and the doctor. You have to know these things, right? Mm-hmm. And so it shouldn't be, well, I don't know, I'm going to speak to whoever it is. You go on Dr. Google. Now, I'm not saying go there each time and check everything, you know, like you do, right? Yeah.
I don't know if that was a good suggestion to go on Google.
Well,
because there is the all right, so you all are specialized in diagnosing these things. Yeah. But there is a way that, you know, we humans tend to, you know, go into a loop.
And
self-diagnosis is not recommended.
You know,
and you can become scared with all of the different myriad of diseases and symptoms. And and I think with the viral part of the diseases that seem to pop up, the symptoms are so similar and so close.
True.
You know, how can we differentiate what is what?
I agree with you. I totally understand, but I'm trying to get the other side. I don't want a pendulum side where you're like, oh no, I don't want to think about anything. It's not my thing to know. As a parent, I'm saying no something, but you're right.
Mm-hmm.
So you combine it. So you have it where it's like having your first car. You know, when you have your first car, it's your baby. So therefore, you'd be best friends with the mechanic, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have your checks each time. The same way your child is your first car, right? So know your stuff on Google. Don't go down the rabbit hole.
Mm.
But also connect with your, you must have, for your first child especially, you must have a pediatrician of some sort. Whether it's you go to the health center, you must have someone who checks your child. It's not just, you know, doing a halfway check. You're not having what is it calling? And what's that car called? A wet man, is it? You're not having one of those cars, right? You're having your best car, your first car. You're trying your best to make sure, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you combine with what your doctor is saying or your nurse is saying. So check this stuff and then check with them. So going back to your question, with hand, foot, and mouth syndrome, it's very much, you're right, it's very much fever, very carousal symptoms, etc. But they're going to have blistery rashes, you know, what we call papules or buttons in the mouth, on the hands, and on the feet. And usually for the younger child, it's at the palms and soles. But for the older child, it can be on the extensor areas. It can be on the elbows, etc. So it doesn't have to just be on the soles and stuff like that. If you see it there, you know. If you're seeing a rash in hand, foot, and mouth, it's definitely hand, foot, and mouth, right? But typically, it's very mild. It's very contagious, but it's very mild. But the younger child, that's the issue. If they have it in the mouth, obviously, they don't know what to do. So like, oh, I can't drink, I can't eat. They're going to get dehydrated. So you have things to do. You have these little lollipops called Little Remedies lollipops. You can actually have it where they suck it and it makes your mouth a bit numb so they can have some fluids. Make sure you don't have anything too spicy, hard, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the main issue is dehydration. Very rarely, though, you can have it where it spreads further and it can cause very rarely. Do not leave with this, but if you find they're looking a bit drowsy or irritable, very rarely it can cause infections in their brain, etc., in their heart.
Mm-hmm.
But typically, most of the time, it's mild. You just have to make sure they're hydrated, have things on their skin, and make sure they're okay afterwards. And when it's finished and it's over, then back to school. The main thing about hand, foot, and mouth is to be aware and don't carry a child, not just in school. It was like, especially for Christmas time, they had all these Christmas parties, right?
Play dates.
Play dates.
Right.
And parents were like, you can see, you know, a few parents came afterwards and told me, I know what was ground zero. I know it was that part when I went to that party. So if your child has that, just stay at home, read a book, do something with your child and just bond, you know?
Yeah. Now, we did talk a little bit as well about COVID.
Yeah.
Now, the idea that COVID was quote-unquote eradicated post-pandemic and we forgot about it, everybody stopped wearing masks and all of that, you surprised me by telling me that it's still very much prevalent. And I believe it was London, you said, there are a few cases still. How do we differentiate still and know that, okay, this is COVID and I need to get to treatment as soon as possible?
Yeah, it's just to keep in the back of our minds. We think that COVID is over. COVID is never going to be over.
Mm-hmm.
COVID is like influenza. And in fact, right now, influenza is worse than COVID. But you're always going to have COVID upsurging. So right now in London, they had this thing called the I think it was a quademic. Because they were like, yeah, I know. You know, you always have been having some sexy news for everything, right?
Wow.
So they had four things at one go. They had RSV. And again, I'm trying to make these names so people get familiar.
Familiar with it. Yeah.
They wouldn't just be like, oh, what's that? So they had RSV, COVID, influenza, and I think novel, next virus that were all respiratory. And they were being hit. So you had lots of right now, the emergency services there were filled. The hospital were filled. The thing to go back to this is that COVID is always going to be here. And every so often, every 3 or 4 months, so you have COVID, you get it, your immunity goes up. It loses about going through about 3 or 6 months, you get it again. And usually around the winter times when we're all together, that's when you have the surges of it. So you're going to have COVID all the time forever. I think the biggest thing I've learned from the pandemic is washing my hands and making sure not just to train your child, but yourself, just make sure you do that to reduce that. You go anyway, Lyman, wash your hands and make sure everything is clean. So that way you don't have to, now if you don't want to, especially in Trinidad, I'm not saying wear your mask all the time. Eh? If you are sick, you are immunocompromised, wear your mask. Mm-hmm. But also people say, oh, you know, I want to wear my mask, and they'll wear a mask for a whole day. So by that time, the mask gets soggy. It's of no worth. If you're going somewhere for a few hours, wear a mask you want to. But really and truly, the key thing is about hand hygiene, washing your hands, coughing into your elbow, making sure that becomes very automatic. But to go back to your point, we're having COVID right now. So if you're having, you know, they always ask, people always, what's up? Hey, JP, we have this thing. Anything going around? Yes, there's always something going around. So right now,
you're trying your best not to be paranoid with it.
Yeah.
Because there was a statement released from the beginning of the Christmas season that there it's like a flu that was going around and you have to be cautious and sanitize your hands. And there was a little message in here too, if it is, you know, for your friend, sanitize the equipment and all that.
Yeah.
Just to be safe. It's so funny that these things seem to be very similar and still, you know, around. Is it airborne? Is it how do you describe the vector?
Yeah. So it's all viruses. So it's definitely bite. It's respiratory droplets, and so it's contact.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that once you have these surges, the key thing for the key time is actually September, October, November.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have the winter months, it's worse. It has outbreaks there in those temperate countries. Then they come down and it spread to us. So therefore, we have outbreaks again. But it's outbreaks when we have our carnival and Christmas time. So it's times when you have lots of persons together in close environments.
Mm-hmm.
That's when there's a spread and outbreak per se. And so it's very similar, but it's just some nuances of differences. And again, we focus on children. If you have COVID, the child right now, the COVID is definitely very mild. So they will be coughing, and they'll be coughing for a long time. So if you find it's a niggling cough, typically if your child has a normal virus, they'll cough for a few days, runny nose, and it goes away.
Mm-hmm.
If they have RSV, they cough and wheeze for about a week or two. So if it's prolonged, if it's just behaving not the normal, so the main thing is to look for the normal. If it's outside the normal, you know something is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, with the novel, that one can cause some diarrhea, etc., dehydration. RSV, wheeze for a bit. COVID, you're coughing for a long time. And if you're fine, again, fever. If you find that they have fever, typically 2 to 3 days, good. You know, short thing. You know what's happening there. Take your paracetamol, ibuprofen, and if you're not suspecting dengue, and of course fluids, etc. If they go beyond 3 days, the key thing: 3 days and less, virus. 4 to 5 days. I teach my students 5 days. You're thinking about bad stuff. You're thinking about dengue, the chikungunya, etc., the combination of that, and of course COVID. And of course it says something is wrong, it's probably bacterial. So to me, it's if it fits a normal capsule, it's nothing to worry about. If it's out of the capsule, something to look and check your pediatrician or check your doctor about.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And of course, you know, it used to be where long ago we didn't have our named doctors. We're like, oh, let me go and get some bush medicine. I'm strong, right? Telling you, this is not the same way. It's not your grandmother's heat. It's no longer your grandmother's virus, all right? Mm-hmm. Right now, with climate change, the viruses are stronger. Our immune systems are also weaker. It's not how they, you know, you'll see someone who long ago, they're 80 years old, still going working in land and stuff like that. No. We're eating less. We're eating less good food, more crap. Immune system's weaker, much more cardiovascular disease. And so with that, we're having a lot more hit with regards to viruses. Yeah.
Is it possible that these things are mutating along the way? I shouldn't say we because I'm not a doctor, but is the medical profession factoring in that as well, that idea?
Yeah, they mutate all the time. Eh? Their whole thing, if I'm a virus, my whole thing is to go into the host, multiply. I just want to make children and go again. So therefore, I will find
what an analogy.
I just want to just boom, right? So therefore, it's always going to be mutating to try to get into us a little bit better. But of course, once it goes through, our immune system is there. We work at combating it, so it's all good. So therefore, if the virus is trying to mutate to make themselves be stronger, and that's why I'm saying that this year, I think the end of year is always a good time to reset. Because I think for 2025, if we can think about our health, and therefore if our immune system is a little bit stronger, then we're able to fight the viruses more. So even if they mutate, do whatever it is, we are going to change and be agile also. Two points to make though, with regards to that, regards to health and also about the virus mutating and also dengue. Is that so I was speaking to this cardiologist friend of mine recently, and he was saying that that there's so much cardiovascular disease in Trinidad and so much risk of it. He himself, he goes on some aspirin and some a small dose and some statins just to make sure he clears things up, and he's so aware of trying to make sure he's as healthy as possible because he knows he has risk factors. He's East Indian, he's male, etc. I'm just saying that Trinidad has a high NCD load, a high risk of cardiovascular. So I'm saying for 2025, if you can sit down and think to yourself, all right, I'm going to make myself as strong as possible to make sure I can combat all these things, look out for myself. So cardiovascular, we're looking for all these viruses. Any that comes up, I'm going to try to make sure I hit it away with a little bat because, I have some extra shield of protection. But going with what you're saying with mutation, the mosquitoes. So aside from the viruses, So aside from the viruses, which as I said, they're mutating and getting stronger, and we are not as strong as we want to be. And of course, we're on our phones all the time, not exercising as it used to be. But the you're seeing the effects of climate change with the mosquitoes. So this year we had our dengue outbreak. The Caribbean also had it. But the key thing you found is that with climate change, it's getting warmer. And the mosquitoes love that, right?
And they're getting bigger.
And exactly.
They're getting bolder.
Exactly.
And the normal sprays that we have not working.
Exactly. The same point you're making about mutating, their whole point is to multiply, right? And so with that, it was amazing when I was doing the research for it, because the warmth makes them exactly what you're saying. They get bigger, they get stronger, they make more eggs, and their egg cycle is shorter, just with the whole warmth, right? So with that, and you had a real wet season, you had lots of dengue happening with these mosquitoes. So we have to aware that climate change is not going away. So next year, they told us already, we have a wetter dry season. What's gonna happen? Dengue.
That's
again.
Such a paradox. Like a wetter, dry season.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah.
So, from the perspective of dengue, you were saying that if it is that you have dengue more than once, it gets worse every time. How does that happen? And what are the things that we need to look out for if it is we suspect dengue?
Yeah, so the dengue virus is really smart.
That's frightening.
Yeah, it comes to you. So if you have it the first time, it comes to meet your immune system. It's like, hey, how you doing? So you get some you get some response to it. You're like, all right, I can handle this. The second time, you remember there are four main subtypes. The second one comes in though. And because typically you have like your policemen set up, and you're like, so if the next one comes in, then you can actually have more more resistance and respond even faster and better. But the virus are like fools, and therefore it now puts on like a different jacket and a different hairstyle, and it comes in and you're like, hey, how you doing? So you actually welcome this virus even further. You tell, no, immune system, settle down. I love this virus. It's my friend. Mm. It comes into your system, so it actually wreaks more havoc. So the second time is worse. The third time is worse. And so what you found with this outbreak this year, you got the virus that was coming to the children as usual. And so you had that, it was a very bimodal distribution. But the ones who were having it second and third times, the adolescents, the young people, they were having it even worse. And of course, the elderly, because they're immunocompromised. But you had those aspects. It wasn't a normal, just because you're young and old. It was also the middle ones were having it because of that thing where it's second and third time. And what you do also, become aware, don't go down the rabbit hole, but become aware of what's happening with dengue. So, and the first and second, so first time you're going to get fever with your, some breakbone fever, etc. And you have some dehydration, some vomiting and some diarrhea and abdominal pain. But the second time, the significant thing when it gets worse is that it's precipitous. When you're going from I'm okay to I'm not okay, it's like a precipice. It goes down. So you have to be wary about day four, day five is when you have that drop down. So if you've had dengue the second and third time, that's when you'll be sicker. So you always have to watch for what's happening. So I usually tell people, once you have it, start being preventative. Well, of course, prevention starts even before that. Make sure
your place clean, etc. Don't have any spaces for mosquitoes to breed. Change out plants with dishes with water. Clean it out. And okay, so my dad is into pest control as well, and he says even with when you think you throw out the water, the eggs stay on the plastic or whatever you have, the receptacle that the plant is in. Yeah. And once water hits that, they just come start all over again.
Exactly.
You know? So you have to be aware.
Yeah, you have to be aware. And then afterwards, people were like, well, it's nighttime. You know, no, it's daytime and nighttime. Mm. So this is not like a nighttime mosquito, around dust, they'll come and just nibble you then. It's every time. And then also, I think I mentioned this before, this is the liming mosquito. So it'll come.
Yeah, they change. It's a different kind of.
It is.
Yeah.
But it'll nibble at you. It wouldn't come and suck you real hard. You're like, oh, and then slap it and the mosquito dead. No. This one comes and says, hey, how you doing? And it nibbles at you. It'll bite you slightly, so you wouldn't even feel it. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It'll go by the next one, and then the next one. It's spreading like that, right? So therefore you go wrong. So therefore you have to prevent at home, prevent in your community, and not just the bigger community. You know how we all might be in different little cul-de-sacs, or you live in the gated community, whatever community you have, your street, make sure you do whatever you can there. And when you think, okay, I'm getting fever now, it feels like dengue. And have you had dengue before?
No, thank God.
Ah, yeah, yes, feel it, your bones hurt, your muscles.
Because you mentioned breakbone fever, and I instantly cringe because that have to be a kind of a like deep in your bones kind of feeling.
Yeah, your bone and muscles hurt and you feel dehydrated and you feel a bit dizzy.
Mm-hmm.
And the key thing, once you start seeing that's happening, of course, no aspirin, no ibuprofen, just your paracetamol. But if you know at day four, day five is when the key things happen where the whole thing does, your fluids go from your blood vessels outside, and therefore you get dehydrated just because of that. So therefore, if you know that's going to happen, jump it from before. Start to just be optimizing your fluids, double the amount of fluids, take your rest, take your vitamin C, and see preventing that dip at day four, day five. All right.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's big bone fever and muscle fever, so you have to just lie there and take a stab. But if you find you're feeling dizzy, so you're looking out for signs. You sign up and you're feeling dizzy. You find this with the world spinning around you. You're seeing like some bleeding in the gums. Your fairness too, looking a bit darker and significantly vomiting, but it's unrelenting. It's persistent vomiting and abdominal pain by the upper side where the liver is. So if you're on the right side, by the upper right side, if you find that's happening, know that those are signs where it goes down the rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
So just go check it out. And then, and also, when you go check it out, don't just presume that, again, don't switch that responsibility to the doctor, the nurse, right? Don't be like, well, they checked me and everything was good. You know your story, so go there and say, hey, doc, hey, nurse, I think I have dengue. I would like to get a CBC, complete blood count, a blood test, a blood count. But, and I'm checking, you know, they don't just say blood count. Say, I want to know what my platelets are. Because you know the whole thing is platelets and this thing called HCT, which is how...
I hope Oli taking notes, you know, because...
No, you got to know these things. Right. You know, it's no longer... I was just thinking to myself this morning when I was coming down, you know, we've evolved. We're actually a much more intelligent society. We know more. And so don't go back to what it used to be. Know your stuff, right? Be totally aware. So you're looking for this thing called hematocrit. So you're looking for that value to know if that goes up high when it's bad, and the platelets go low when it's bad. So you're asking your doctor and nurse, okay, what's my results? Which one is which one goes up high, which one goes up low?
Mm-hmm.
And also, not just one off, it's trending. If you're fine at day 4, it's okay. But you know that there's this window period where you're going to go to pot, right? The stuff is hitting the fan. So therefore, if you're fine the next day, you're much worse. Make sure they check you every 24 hours. If you're much worse, go back there, but have your double fluids. So your rest, double fluids, but look for when it's getting worse. I find with this last this year, what was happening is that persons weren't as aware that for the second and third time you get dengue, it's much worse. So do not fourth and fifth
that,
time.
That is news.
Yeah.
You know, is it shingles is not related to this. This is something different.
Yeah.
But it's what I wanted to ask too, what other type of pain medication can you take with dengue? Because I know they say just paracetamol.
But it's Panadol. That's it.
That don't work for some people. That don't work.
If you take the, I agree with you, but if you take it every 6 hours and you do the fluids, double the fluids and you rest and you just ride it through, it's okay, but it has to be regular Panadol for about 2 to 3 days.
Okay.
You can't take aspirin, no ibuprofen, no Motrin, no Advil, like anything can make it worse. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. And are there other ways to boost your immune system before you get dengue? And what can you do to boost your immune system while going through that process?
So if your shield is not as strong, it's gonna hit you, right? It's funny though, people always tell me that what they found with dengue is that whatever your areas, like, you know, what chikungunya, wherever you used to have like a previous injury, a knee injury, the chick just went there, it was much worse, and your back is, they found with dengue, it's all like earmark those areas in which you were always a little bit more vulnerable.
Yeah.
Exactly. So any area there was previous inflammatory changes, it will go there. If your immune system, because it makes your immune system hyperimmune, right? You're hyperimmune up. And if your immune system is not that strong by itself, just generally, if you're cardiovascular wise, if your sugar is crap, if your blood pressure is crap, if your arteries are clogged up, if your system itself is not very strong, that's the ones they hit. Anybody with heart issue, sugar issue, kidney issue, and just staying at home, reading your WhatsApp, scrolling through your Facebook or whatever, not exercising, those are the ones that it will hit, aside from the ones who are vulnerable, who are young, and of course, the ones who are recovering from cancer, etc. So you really want to, the whole point, if I can leave today with one message, I'm saying we're an intelligent society. We know everything. We're doing memes for days. We can have memes in 2 seconds, right?
Boy, quick it out here.
2 seconds. We smart, right? I'm saying for 2025, if you're smart, that's all we are. Focus on that, trying to make your system ready. And the whole thing about it is prevention of your community, but there's prevention of your body, which is like your community, and make yourself healthier. There's this thing where I start with saying just one, right? You start up with a little bit. So you say, here, what? I want to have one salad per day. Or, you know, they used to, really long ago, one apple a day. Or the temperate. The whole thing was about fruit, right? That's for the temperate countries. But in Trinidad, one fruit per day. Just make yourself where you make it routine. One of something. So every month you say, here, what? I'm going to do something that adds to whatever. Make it a slow process. So I'm eating one small salad per day, or I must make one fruit per day, or I'm saying, here, what, I must do at least 20 minutes of exercise per day of some sort, walking, something. Make that, and every time add it up, do all the small things, and then after 6 months you'll realize, hey, you're eating healthier, you're exercising, it's real simple now. Exercise, eat healthy, monitor all your stuff, know what your sugar is. And I hate saying sugar because that's what, I mean, we moved on now. So not just sugar. You're looking for your glucose level, no sugar and pressure.
Mm.
You're looking to see if you're hypertensive. Yeah, no, we're beyond that now. I hate saying those terms, right? Because we are an intelligent society. We can go further.
Mm-hmm.
What is my glucose level? What's my HbA1c? You know, you know those terms. What is my, am I hypertensive? What's my blood pressure? That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, moving on.
And it's, as it pertains specifically for children,
yeah.
How is the mode of care different for children?
With dengue?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the thing about, the, you know, children can't tell you what's happening. They can't tell you, hey, mommy, daddy, my bones are hurting. So I would say with children, I would say of a call for dengue, over the top, behave over the top. If you find you have a slight inclination something is up here, just take them to hospital, to your health center, whatever. And again, don't say, if they send you home and say things good, make sure you know what's happening.
Yeah.
But the children, they have this very soft. So they'll have that, they will just be lying down and they're groaning, right? So, and they can't say having belly pain. So they'll groan slightly. They'll be not moving a lot. They're lethargic. But the key thing what we found with them was the vomiting. If you find they were just not taking anything, the key sign out of every sign was the vomiting persistently under the lethargy. If you find they're having fever, but they're not moving much at all, because of course everything hurting, right? So just lying there, they're like, and they're groaning a little bit. Mm-mm. Even from day two, day three, don't say, well, I wait for day four, day five, because that's what they say, right? If you find from that, you try to take them somewhere. Even if you had to spend whatever hours there in whatever facility, you go there and be, you know, they usually say for your child, that's where your mama bear or papa bear comes out. Make that come out for dengue, because with children, they get, especially those who are less than two, it can go from nothing to something major.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the saddest thing is really to have a child die. I hate
yeah.
that. So, I not just hear that, that's the it hurts you to the very core. So yeah. you really want to be over the top of that to make sure your child is seen and they do the right thing for your child.
It's better that you go take them and have nothing wrong yeah. rather than not take them and yeah. the worst happens.
Yeah, definitely.
Dr. Paul, thank you so much for joining us today.
Touch, right?
Yeah, no problem. Or tea is fine.
Tea, yeah. tea, I like it. Yeah.
And I enjoyed having you here. Happy New Year. All the best for the new year. And let's be healthy. For 2025, because God knows we need it.
We do. Mm-hmm. 2025, make that your year, Trinidad and Tobago. Make it your healthy year.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.